This is A Good Few Verses, a The Witcher fanfic
written by Sospez
and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated NC-17 and contains the pairing Yaskir Yennefer, with background Yaskir Geralt, Yennefer Geralt, and OT3 of Yaskir Yennefer Geralt.
Tags. Drinking. Rivals to drinking buddies to friends to lovers. OT3. Polyamory. 5+1 things. Slow burn. Angst. Canon typical violence. Explicit sexual content. Like, a lot of explicit sexual content. Idiots in love. Tattoos. Geralt of Rivia is good at feelings. Motherhood. Mortality.
This story was written and recorded for Pod Together 2020. 10 years! One. There's a man watching Yennefer from across the bar. For the time being, she pays him no heed. She's used to being watched, used to the crawl of lustful eyes across her skin. And from time to time, admittedly, it's exactly what she needs. She knows how to flaunt herself, knows how to display herself to get what she wants, who she wants. Men are so very predictable, after all. But for now, she's not interested. She has a glass of wine in her hand, and she's sitting close enough to the open front of the bar that she has a view over Vizima's central square, golden in the sunlight, buzzing with the hum of midsummer. There are people to watch, there's fashion to judge, there's a whole afternoon ahead of her that she has no interest in wasting on a stranger in a bar. Out of the corner of her eye, she sees the man shift. He squares his shoulders, ripples the muscles in his arms, tosses his floppy blonde hair out of his eyes, then takes a long drink of his wine in a way that highlights the tendons of his throat, the bulge of his larynx, the color of his tan. He slams his empty glass down on the tabletop, ostentatiously calls, "Another glass of Evolus!" He is peacocking. He's spreading his tail feathers, shaking his puffed-up crest. Yennefer rolls her eyes and drinks her wine. Vizima's market is in full raucous flow today. Stallholders crying out the prices of their wares, merchants haggling that their lives depend on it, tourists flitting between the rows of stalls with shouts and laughter on their lips. The smell is a little overwhelming, if Yennefer is honest. Frying meat, fresh cured leather, pickled herring, overripe produce, the oils that the armorers use to keep their swords clean and shining, the dirt and shit on the shoes of the tradesfolk, the general reek of sweaty, unwashed bodies crammed into a too small space on market day. The bar she's chosen is far enough away from the main mass of the trading that the smell isn't too bad, but occasionally a particularly potent whiff will reach her, strong enough to make her bury her nose in her glass and drink a little deeper. My lady. Yennefer looks up. The barman's bald head gleams with sweat, and he's balancing a tray on one hand, the other tucked behind his back. On the tray is a large glass of deep red wine. Evolus, the barman says, his bow an appropriate depth to indicate his respect, but not too deep that he spills the wine all over her gauzy white skirts. From the gentleman in the corner. Yennefer glances over at the blonde man, at his floppy hair and tanned skin and ostentatious muscles. His smile is confident, bordering on arrogant, and he raises his matching glass of Evolus to her, fingers long, nails trimmed. Yennefer turns back to the bustle of Vizima's market day. "He can drink it himself," she says, bored. The barman hesitates. "My lady, or," Yennefer interrupts, not a shout, not a yell, but nonetheless loud enough that it'll carry for anyone who's listening. "He can forget the wine and present me his balls on a silver platter. I can buy my own wine. The testicles of a brutish oaf, however, are something I'm lacking at present, and they would be very useful for a spell I'm working on." The barman's eyebrows climb further up his forehead. "My lady sorceress," he says, sketching another bow. "I'll pass on the message." Yennefer glances across the bar. The blonde man's expression is now caught somewhere between outrage and horror. And as she watches, he abandons his drink, gathers up his hat and his rapier, and hurries out of the bar. She follows him for a second, a small smile twitching the corners of her lips, until he vanishes into the heaving mass of the market. Then she turns to the barman, still standing frozen at her side. "I'll take the wine," she says a little lazily, and reaches out and plucks the glass from the tray. The barman hovers for a second longer, then thinks better of whatever he was going to say, and leaves her alone. Yennefer thinks that's probably for the best. The Evolus is frankly delightful, smooth and mellow on her palate, and she drinks the glass probably a little faster than she really should. That's all right, though, because the afternoon sun is warm, there's a breeze coming off Lake Vizima that makes the air light and cooling, the back of the velvet-upholstered chair is soft against her bare shoulders. It's a slow afternoon, a lazy afternoon, an afternoon for sitting still as the world rolls by, an afternoon for wine and quiet contemplation, and judging the dresses of the wealthy Viziman women strolling past. Really, a ruff like that? Yennefer scoffs a little, finishes off her wine, sets the glass down on the table. The current fashion in this part of Temeria seems to be for ruffs of increasingly extravagant size and color, which seems more than a little idiotic, given the current soaring temperature. And all the women who go past in those ludicrous contraptions are practically dripping with sweat. Makeup sliding off their fine cheekbones and elegant noses. Dark stains under their armpits. Yennefer sits back in her thin, light, chiffon and lace dress, smooths her hands down over her stomach, and feels more than a little smug. Footsteps sound on the polished floorboards, coming to a halt just behind her. It's not the barman. She'd recognize his smell of stale wine and sweat a mile away. And she lets out a short sigh, rolls her eyes so hard she practically sees the back of her head. She looks back over her shoulder, the words "fuck off" already framed by her lips, and stops dead. Yaskir has two glasses in one hand, and a bottle in the other. And there's an indefinable look in his eyes as he holds the bottle up toward her. "Fancy sharing a drink with an old..." he says, then stutters, trails off, winces. "I was going to say old friend," he says again, lips curling in a faintly sour expression. "But I'm not really sure how accurate that is. Old acquaintance?" He doesn't quite smile. "Old rival?" Something bitter sits heavy in Yennefer's stomach. "I admire your optimism in thinking you could ever rival me," she says, a lick of cruelty in her voice. Yasker's expression falls, just a little. "Fair enough," he says, lowering the bottle to his side. "I guess I'll leave you to it." He flashes her a smile, small and subdued, but probably the most genuine thing Yennefer's seen in weeks. "See you around, Yennefer." Yennefer grits her teeth. She knows what she's doing, knows that she's angry, she's bitter, she's resentful. But she knows what he's doing, too. He's fucking... reaching out. Because that's who he is, isn't he? He's soft and empathetic and kind. He's gentle and bright and cheerful. "The wine?" Yennefer says. Yaskir pauses, midway through turning away from her. "Est, he says, then angles the bottle so she can see the Tassani stamp on the neck. Yennefer does like as dust. Sit, Yennefer says, and pushes a chair toward him. Jaskier sits without hesitation, puts the two fresh glasses down, and pours. It's a good vintage, he says, from 5, maybe 6 years ago, I think. They had exceptionally good weather in Tucson for the whole growing season, made the grapes particularly grape-like, apparently. He flashes Yennefer another smile, more performative this time. I don't know much about making wine, he confides. Pretty good at drinking it, though. Yennefer pauses for a second, but then he pushes an overly full glass across the table towards her, and she accepts it. The glass is cool against her fingertips, and when she drinks, the wine is sweet and rich. Jaskier settles back in his seat, the picture of confidence, and sips his own. He hums appreciatively, raises an eyebrow. You know, I was skeptical when the barman told me it was his best, he says. Drinks again. The wine leaves a sheen of red slicked across his lips, and he licks it away, an absent motion. But this is good, and I've drunk a lot of Estest in my time. Yennefer folds one arm across her stomach, props her other elbow on her hand. She takes another sip, holds it on her tongue, savoring. I think my favorite is the 1257 Harvest, Jaskier says. It's rare, and very expensive. Only ever had it once, at this banquet in Cadwin a couple years ago. They were feeding some general, I think. I wasn't really paying attention. The guests left a lot of the good stuff, just laying around, very careless of them. So I figured they wouldn't mind if I sampled the wares. He shrugs, swirls wine around in his glass. Got very drunk very fast, he says. Ended up spending the night carousing with the cooks and the servants in the castle kitchens. Much better company than the princes and lords up above, let me tell you. Scrolled away a couple of bottles, too, hidden in my bags. Figured I'd save them to share with a rainy day. Yennefer doesn't miss the hesitation or the awkward phrasing. She doesn't miss the fact that Jaskier's face falls just a little, just a fraction. Enough that she would miss it if she were less observant. As she watches, Jaskier fumbles his glass, stares into it for a moment before drinking deep. And all of a sudden, Yennefer realizes why. Who else would he save expensive wine for? Her throat burns. Yennefer puts her glass down on the tabletop, does her best to ignore the tremor in her fingers. What brings you to Vizima? She asks. Because if there's one thing she does not want to talk about, there's one thing that she isn't going to let ruin her restful, wine-drunk afternoon, it's the thought of him. A moment later, she realizes that, in all likelihood, Jaskier is thinking the exact same thing right now. Jaskier's smile is tense, fragile, like cracked glass. A competition, he says, his voice as bright as Yennefer's ever heard. Not one of the big ones, nothing to write home about winning. He pauses, pulls a face she can't quite parse. If I ever wrote home, that is. But the prize money's good. He taps the bottle with his fingertip. Buy me this. Yennefer raises an eyebrow. You won? Jaskier's lips twist. Not first place, he says, clearly annoyed. Second. He shakes his head, his expression flickering through emotions so quickly that Yennefer can't separate them out. Which is still good, I suppose, he says, clearly not believing his own words. Second is okay, and I mean, I was a bit hungover for the final. Made the mistake of going drinking with a couple of dwarves the night before. Really should have known better. But who am I to refuse free drinks? A professional musician, Yennefer offers, reaching for her glass once more, mainly because she needs something to hide the amused smile that's quirking her lips. Jaskier scoffs. part of being a professional musician, he points out, is being able to perform on a raging hangover. It's basically cheating that the woman who won was sober. Rather takes the fun out of it, you know? He rolls his eyes, drinks another mouthful of S-Dust. What's the point of a competition if you already know who's going to win? So you just assume that if you weren't hungover, you'd have won? Yennefer asks, eyebrow raised. I know I'd have won, Yaskir says. And it's such an arrogantly straightforward statement that it, perversely, sends a spark of something warm through Yennefer's heart. Melitta, the winner? I've competed against her a half dozen times in the past few years in all the big competitions, much more internationally recognized than the shitty Artist's Waltz in Vizima. And I've always placed higher than her, even on the rare occasions I didn't win. He pauses, frowns down at the wine in his hand. Maybe she paid those dwarves to get me drunk, he says, sounding more annoyed by the prospect than anything else. Maybe that's why they were so interested in my poetry. Yennefer snorts, and she's blaming the inelegance of the sound on the fact that she's about 3 glasses of wine deep already. I think they would pay to sabotage your performance, she says, but it's more amused than bitter this time. No one's interested in your poetry. Yaskir's eyes flash. Well then, he says, arch and affronted, but with a lick of humor that tells her that he's at least mostly joking. This is the last time that I offer to share a drink with you, Yennefer of Vengerberg. Yennefer very firmly suppresses the urge to laugh. And why exactly did you decide to share your wine with Mainbard? She asks. Whether you won second place or first, Estas isn't cheap. Yaskir cocks his head, and there's a smile in the creases around his eyes. You didn't seem too fond of the Everloose, he says. Thought if I wanted to keep my balls firmly attached to my body, Estas might be a better choice. And I am quite fond of my balls, you know. Are you spying on me, Yaskir? Yennefer asks, not quite sure whether to be surprised or offended. Yaskir shrugs. It's not spying if you shout it for the whole of Azima to hear. Yennefer's laugh is sharp and unexpected, and Yaskir seems almost as surprised as she is. I suppose not, she allows, then reaches for her glass, buying yourself enough time to push that laughter down as far as it needs to go. I'm here to enjoy the wine and watch the market, she says, the warmth of the Estest rich in her stomach. I don't need men slavering after me, especially not ones who don't have the courage to approach me directly. She rolls her eyes. Don't use the barman as a go-between. If you want something, take it. She sighs, tosses the rest of the wine back, and sets the glass down on the table. A drop of red wine escapes her lips, drips toward her dress, and she flicks her fingers, catches it in midair. She studies the hovering crimson sphere. I wouldn't expect you to understand, she says finally, then flicks the droplet of wine to the floor. Why not? Yaskir asks, raising an eyebrow. Because I don't have men drooling after me in Vizimin bars. Yennefer eyes him. Because you are a man, she says bluntly. Because there's no expectation that you were there for the taking. Yaskir pauses, thinks. I'm human, though, he says. You're not. If someone wants to take me in whatever way, they can. I'll be honest, I'm not going to put up much of a fight. You? You, they'd have a battle on their hands. Yennefer must be hearing things. Either that, or she's drunk significantly more than she thought she had, because there's a note in his voice that almost sounds admiring. She pushes her empty glass towards Yaskir, looks pointedly at the bottle. "Are you really telling me that you can't fight?" she asks, as he leans forward and starts to pour. And all of a sudden, she realizes that that's a question that skates very, very close to the topic that they're both avoiding. Why would he know how to fight? Why would she assume that he knows how to fight? Her heart thuds harder against her ribs. If Yaskir realizes, however, he doesn't show it. "I really am," he answers, pushing her glass back toward her and topping up his own. "I mean, I learned defense as a youth, and I've been involved in more bar fights than I can count. But the fencing is just the kind of thing you just sort of have to learn when you're a wayward noble youth. You know, self-show. Most of the time, the rapiers weren't even sharp." "And the bar fights?" Yennefer asks, amusement seeping into her discomfort. Yaskir shrugs. "They're surprisingly easy to wriggle out of," he says. "Someone throws a punch at you, avoid it as much as you can, and then just happen to stumble into someone else, ideally someone big and mean. And then they start throwing punches, and before you know it, the two pugilistic fuckers are wailing on each other, and I'm out the door." He drinks, long and fast, and Yennefer finds herself watching the movement of his throat, the bob of his oh-so-valuable voice box. "And then," he says, a little quieter, a little more cautious, "of course, sometimes I wouldn't have to worry. Sometimes I'd have someone there to grab me by the scruff of my neck and haul me out of danger." He smiles, but it's flat. "Like a misbehaving kitten." Silence hovers between them, broken by the racket of the market, the chatter of the bar's other patrons, the click of coins into the barman's hands. Yennefer remembers the first time she met Yaskir, in that borrowed house in Rind, blood spilling from his lips, unable to hold himself upright, weak and voiceless, so close to death. She remembers a lot of things. Yaskir coughs, downs the rest of his glass in one long gulp.
"What do you say?"
he says, grabbing for the bottle.
"We get really, really drunk."
Yennefer tosses back the wine left in her glass, practically snatches the bottle out of his hand. "I'd say," she answers, a smirk twitching her lips, "that we're going to need more wine. And there's probably not much point in getting the good stuff." Yaskir barks a laugh. "A woman after my own heart," he says, and signals to the barman. "I happen to know that the house red here is, while nowhere near as good as a 57 SS, pretty damn drinkable. More importantly, it comes by the liter." "Let's get two," Yennefer says. Yaskir snorts, then looks up as the barman appears at their side. "2 liters of the house red, please," he says, beaming. "And you still do those platters, you know, the ones of local cheese and meats?"
"We do," the barman answers, nodding. "And we've had a fresh shipment in today. Our suppliers are here for the market, of course, and if you wish to purchase more, I'd be happy to point you in their direction. I have a lovely soft blue cheese from the Antoine Valley just to the north of here, and although it's not exactly local, there's a cate of Cadwinian smoked pork that will pair excellently with the house red." "Sounds perfect," Yaskir says. "With some pickles and that fruit chutney."
Yennefer thinks that the barman looks vaguely offended that that's even a question.
"Of course, sir," he says, "and the finest bread Vizima has to offer."
"That'll do nicely," Yaskir says, and smiles even wider. Yennefer studies him as the barman disappears.
"How much time exactly do you spend in this bar?"
she asks, intrigued. Yaskir shrugs.
"Enough,"
he says, and there's a whisper of something in his expression that Yennefer can't identify.
It vanishes quickly enough, though, and Yaskir raises his glass to her, that cheery smile firmly back in place. "To you, Yennefer of Engeberg," he says, all courtly airs and graces, until his expression crumples into a smirk. "And to spending this beautiful summer afternoon getting completely trolleyed." Yennefer hesitates for a moment, then leans forward, taps her glass against his. The chime of glass against glass sings in the summer breeze. "And to you, Yaskir," she says, "and your inevitable hangover." Yaskir raises an eyebrow. "You'll be sharing it with me if we get through 2 liters of wine," he points out. Yennefer snorts. "I'm a sorceress of Aretusa," she says, sipping the last of the est from her glass. "You really think I can't carry a simple hangover?" Yaskir's eyes flash, startlingly eager. "Oh, now that's a use for your wicked sorcerer's powers I'd never thought of," he says, fingers long and slender around the stem of his glass. "Curing hangovers. What I wouldn't have given to have that magical ability when I was at Oxenfurt. Tutorial's first thing in the morning would have gone a lot smoother, I'll give you that." "It was a useful skill to have at Aretusa, too. Especially the mornings that we had lessons on potion making," Yennefer says. And the words are out of her mouth before she really realizes what she's saying. She's talking to a bard. An irritating, snide little chit of a man whose sole redeeming feature is his good taste in wine. And here she is, spilling her guts about Aretusa of all places. For the briefest of moments, she wonders if she's under some kind of curse, a malicious enchantment. Maybe he put something in the bottle of his dust? But then she pauses, realizes that's ridiculous, and goes to take a sip from her glass. Except there's nothing in her glass. Yennefer twists around in her chair to see if the barman is on his way back. She needs more wine.
"I can imagine,"
Yaskir says, blindly unaware of the turmoil going on inside Yennefer's head.
"I mean, it was bad enough having to listen to Professor Allendorf whittering on about triangles in a crack of dawn geometry tutorial that I hadn't done the work for. I can only imagine how bad eye of newt, tongue of bat, and..."
He trails off, snorts into his wine.
"Balls of oaf would be."
"On occasion?"
"Pungent,"
Yennefer answers, watching as the barman brings 2 large carafes to their table, along with the promised platter of meats and cheese.
"Speaking of..."
Yaskir says under his breath, waving his hand in front of his nose, none too subtly, as the barman retreats.
"He wasn't kidding about the blue cheese, was he?"
Yennefer smirks, pours herself a fresh glass from the nearest carafe. "Try not to vomit into the wine like you did in your geometry lessons," she says, mockingly scathing. "Actually," Yaskir stresses, watching with a faintly disturbed furrow to his brow as Yennefer goes straight for the admittedly very blue cheese. "I only ever threw up in rhetoric, and that was mainly because my tutorial partner kept sneaking pieces of fermented herring out of his pocket and eating them." His nose wrinkles, and he finishes off his glass, pours himself another.
"Another unpleasant smell.
Not to put too fine a point on it, Yennefer, but I am experiencing flashbacks right now." "It's cheese, not fish," Yennefer observes. Yaskir waves a hand.
"Same difference."
"You're being melodramatic."
"I'm a bard,"
he extemporizes grandly. "Dramatic by nature." Yennefer thinks that Yaskir is a lot of things by nature.
Dramatic, yes, and extravagant. Funny, even though she'd never admit it to his face.
Clearly observant, by how much of her rejection of her blonde admirer he seems to have memorized. And subtle, too, when he wants to be,
given that she didn't notice him until he was right behind her.
There's a flush high on his cheekbones from the wine and the heat, and his untidy dark hair is sticking to his scalp, slick with sweat.
He's foregone a doublet. Understandable given the heat, if a little risque.
And he sits across from her in just his shirt sleeves, the neck open enough that a patch of thick, curling chest hair is visible in the soft afternoon light. Yennefer smears a little of the fruit chutney onto her cheese and eats it thoughtfully.
So tell me, Yaskir says, avoiding the blue cheese in favor of a hard yellow block that crumbles when he slices it. Aretusa, that's the school for sorceresses, right?
Yennefer pauses, takes a subtle sniff of the wine to see if it has that distinctive whiff of truth serum.
When it just smells like wine, she nods.
Correct, she says, taking a sip. Why do you ask?
Good question, Yaskir says, settling back, throwing one arm across the back of his chair. I've been thinking about taking a new direction with my work, you know? Moving away from all the heroic tales of derring do. It gets a bit old after a while.
There's a tightness in his lips, a blankness in his eyes, but it passes.
And as it turns out, there aren't actually all that many songs about sorceresses. At least, not any particularly flattering ones.
I thought maybe I could fill that gap in the market. His lips twitch in a smile Yennefer has a suspicion he doesn't feel.
Maybe get myself a wealthy patron. You sorceresses rake it in, don't you?
Yennefer pauses.
You're lying, she says. And there's a heaviness in her voice that she didn't intend. You'd never stop singing those tales. Not if every sorceress in the continent promised you their patronage.
And she knows that they both know. She's not just talking about his poetry.
Well, yes, he admits, reaching for his wine. But you don't have to be so blunt about it.
His voice is still light, still cheery, but there's the faintest whisper of hurt there that, for some reason, Yennefer finds she doesn't like hearing. An echoing hurt sits small and painful in her own heart. Yennefer looks away from Yaskir, looks out across the square.
There's a butcher close enough to the open front of the bar that she could make out the red and white stripes of his apron, the smear of blood across the back of his hand. He's having a not-so-quiet argument with a woman that Yennefer assumes is a regular customer, haggling over the price of a haunch of venison. The voices spiral up through the chaos of the market, his bass a counterpoint to her alto.
Aretusa, Yennefer says, her attention still fixed on the butcher and his customer, is a strange place.
Yaskir looks up. Strange how?
It isn't all it's supposed to be, Yennefer answers, struggling to find the words. It's said that it's a school, a haven for those unfortunate little girls who demonstrate some degree of magical talent, a place where they can be trained and molded to be the next generation of sorceresses, in the comfort and companionship provided by others like them. A sisterhood, you might say, within the Brotherhood.
And it isn't that? Yennefer snorts. We didn't exactly spend our free time braiding each other's hair, she says, a little wry. So no scantily clad magical pillow fights?
Yaskir asks, a teasing smile twitching his lips.
My teenage self is devastated.
Aretusa does not exist to provide fuel for your masturbatory fantasies, Bard, Yennefer says, as icy as the alcohol allows. It trains the very best sorcerers, and their power stretches across the northern realms. No court is untouched by Aretusa, no mountain holdfast or desert stronghold. Its influence is more wide-reaching than you could possibly imagine.
Yasuke looks into his glass, drinks deep. Nothing that wouldn't be improved by a scantily clad pillow fight, he observes, and his voice is almost tentative. Not on the surface, of course, no. The surface is brash and crass and everything else that a wandering, womanizing bard is expected to be. But there, beneath that, he's testing the waters, Yennefer realizes. He's seeing how far he can push, how far she'll let him push. Yennefer sips her wine. I suppose, she says, somewhat to her own surprise, a good pillow fight might have made some of them loosen the fuck up. Glass already raised to his lips. Yeskier splutters in shock. Deep red wine splatters down the front of his shirt, immediately staining the dove gray fabric, and he looks down at himself, makes a faint noise of distress. Oh, bollocks, he mutters, wiping wine off his hand onto his thigh, then looks back up at Yennefer, his forehead furrowed. He licks his lips, tongue pink and quick, then says, not to pry or anything, but loosen the fuck up. Yennefer raises an eyebrow. Have you never heard the phrase? She laughs a little. I thought you were a wordsmith, Bard, a master of language. I've heard it before, Yasker says, futilely patting out his stained shirt with a handkerchief he pulled out of his pocket. Just not in relation to, well, you know, the Brotherhood of Sorcerers. Yennefer scoffs. Then, because she's feeling a little generous and more than a little tipsy, flicks a fingertip and erases the wine stains from Yasker's shirt. That's just a name, she says, then empties her glass and reaches forward to top herself up. A better description would be a bunch of narcissistic assholes who are incapable of listening to decent advice. She pauses for a second, thinks back over what she's just said, then peers into her wine glass again. Still no acrid, bitter tang of truth serum, which unfortunately seems to suggest that she's just getting drunk. Then again, that was her plan for the afternoon. Narcissistic assholes, Yasuke repeats, absently plucking at his shirt. Yennefer hums and drinks deeper. Aretuza teaches you to think a certain way, she says, her gaze skating past Yaskir, out to the marketplace, to the bustle of humanity. To prioritize certain things, to dismiss others. We are trained to view the world through a very specific lens. Which, well, she pauses, laughs shortly. You were trained at Oxenfurt, Bard. You know what academia is like. Yasker's head tilts to one side, his eyes narrowing. I somehow don't think that Oxenfurt is quite the same. Indulge me, Yennefer says. Yasker studies her for a moment longer, frowning. Oxenfurt Academia is petty, he says eventually. Backstabbing. Self-interested. More concerned with the minutiae of ancient manuscripts than anything real. Yennefer laughs, brighter and more genuine than she's laughed in weeks. She drinks again, the wine spilling down her throat like it's water, then settles her glass on the tabletop and takes a piece of the crumbly yellow cheese. A few years ago, she says, I was in Caedwin. I can't remember exactly why. It might have been when I was looking for powdered manticore bone. It's surprisingly difficult to find nowadays. Probably something to do with fucking witchers killing off all the manticores. A shudder runs through her, unbidden, and she wolfs down the cheese, finishes it with a gulp of wine. I was in Caedwin, she repeats, and I ran into Sabrina. Sabrina Glevesy, do you know her? Not personally, Yasker says slowly, his wine glass cradled against his stomach.
She's the Caedwinian court mage, right?
Yennefer nods.
One of my contemporaries at Arethusa, she says,
then gives in to instinct and sneers a little. I believe the most fitting phrase would be teacher's pet, which gave her a great deal of self-confidence, of course, being praised to the gods by each and every one of her tutors, but also means that she lacks much by the way of creativity.
Yasgir sips meditatively from his glass.
I hate to think what might constitute creativity in a sorceress,
he muses, then grabs for one of the small, neatly plaited bread rolls that the barman brought with their platter. His movements are a little clumsy, Yennefer notices, his fingers a little uncoordinated. His glass wobbles a little when he sets it down on the table.
Yennefer snorts, another one of those inelegant sounds that she can't quite seem to stop herself making today.
It'll be the wine.
Nothing Sabrina has,
she says dismissively. I ran into her in Caedwin at a party some noble prick seemed determined to try to turn into an orgy.
Yasgir makes a startled noise at that, but Yennefer doesn't pause.
She told me about some minor issue King Anselt was having, a boundary dispute in the south, I think. Made more complicated by typical male pride, of course. Two fucking bulls unable to back down. The logical thing to do, or at least the solution that would have cost least in both money and lives, was to go behind Henselt's back and negotiate. Gods, it's only Aedirn. It's not like King Virferil was ever particularly difficult to placate. Sabrina could have portaled in, pushed her tits into his face, and he would have done whatever she wanted him to. Which I told her. But did she listen? Did she fuck? She rolls her eyes, snags her glass, drinks. So instead of a neat, tidy solution that required a minor amount of lateral thinking, Sabrina just let Henselt do whatever the fuck he wanted. Because of course she did. She's too fucking straight-laced to do anything.
Wait.
Yennefer pauses.
What? Yasker's just sort of staring at her.
Caedwin, he says slowly, and Aedirn, in the reign of King Viveril, which I'd like to point out ended more than a few years ago.
Was this...
He breaks off, thinks for a minute.
Around the late 1240s, by any chance?
Yennefer considers that for a second.
I suppose so,
she says slowly.
Why? The annexation of the Pontar Valley,
Yasgir says flatly.
You're talking about King Hensel's attempted annexation of the Pontar Valley in northern Aedirn. And?
And? Yasgir echoes, a little shrill.
Yennefer, that war lasted 3 years. Thousands of soldiers died. It was chaos. Redania closed its fucking borders. I got stuck in Oxenford for 8 months. It was so crazy in Caedwin that Geralt couldn't get out of Kaer Morhen until the beginning of the summer. And you're sitting here telling me that, what, it's all because one of your sorcerer's friends refused to listen to your advice at an orgy?
It didn't actually turn into an orgy, Yennefer points out. The host just wanted it to turn into an orgy. Yasgir sighs.
You do realize that that doesn't make it better.
Yennefer shrugs, sips her wine.
I wasn't involved in the conflict, she says. I was in Skellig, I think. Or Sidaris.
It might have been Sidaris.
Sidaris,
Yasgir says, nodding.
Right.
He's still staring at her, forehead furrowed, expression somewhere between astonished and exasperated. But then his shoulders slump and he shakes his head,
reaches for his glass.
He downs whatever's left, pours himself another, and fills Yennefer's glass virtually to the brim. When he sits back, there's a wry smile tugging at the corner of his lips. "I always thought," he says, running a fingertip around the wine-slick brim of his glass,
"that you sorceresses were these mighty, powerful, godlike beings, all statecraft and forging the future of the continent, shaping the way us mere mortals live our short little lives with an eye to some grand design, I suppose."
He snorts.
"What you're telling me is that you're more interested in one-upping your old schoolmate than you are with a war that claimed thousands of lives."
"Do you have a problem with that?" Yennefer asks, arching an eyebrow. Yaskir sighs.
"You know, I probably should too,"
he says, taking a drink.
"But for some reason, it just makes your whole..."
He trails off, waves a hand non-specifically in her direction.
"Thing make a lot more sense,"
he snorts.
"Makes you a lot more human, actually."
Yennefer glares at him.
"Take that back."
Yaskir laughs, bright and peeling. His lips are stained berry red from the wine, his tongue a dark pink, and the open neck of his shirt is gaping wider, disturbed by the frankly inefficient way he tried to get the wineskins out of the soft embroidered fabric.
"It's awfully reassuring, actually,"
he says, his smile more than a little wicked.
"We've all got that one colleague who we just want to throttle. Nice to know that the mighty Yennefer of Vengerberg has the same problem."
Yennefer drinks slowly.
"You want to throttle your fellow bards?" she asks, amused.
"Not all of them," Yaskir answers, raising his glass to his lips.
"Some of them. A few."
He drinks, then pulls a face.
"Okay, just one. Voldo Marks, who, by the way, is a fucking hack who steals ideas and has his head so far up his own ass that I'm pretty sure he hasn't seen daylight in 20 years.
Yennefer blinks,
because there's a viciousness in his voice that she really didn't expect.
Yaskir's lips twist in an expression that Yennefer can only really describe as a sneer, and he snorts.
"That was my first gin wish, actually, all those years ago in Rind. For Voldo fucking Marks to drop dead. And if I'm honest, I'm still pretty disappointed that the wishes turned out to not be mine. That way I wouldn't have to worry that my fucking songbook is going to get stolen every time I'm in Sidaris. Honestly, I swear, I was there a few years ago and I left my bags in a random inn in the capital, went to get a drink, and when I got back, my room had been broken into, and what was missing?"
Yaskir pauses, wrinkles his nose.
"Admittedly, also a full purse and three of my gold rings. But the songbook is the important thing."
"Sure," Yennefer says, and sips her wine. Yaskir pauses.
"I think I've got a little off topic here,"
he says, and drinks. He's not slurring exactly,
neither of them are,
but there's a richness in his voice that wasn't there before. An ease, a pliability that, for some reason, feels strangely comforting.
"The point is, Yennefer,"
Yaskir says, gesturing with his glass,
"that I have my own professional nemesis. So it's oddly reassuring that you mighty sorceresses are just as petty as I am."
"We're not mighty," Yennefer says, shaking her head.
"We're just people."
Yaskir snorts.
"You're insanely beautiful,"
he says, ticking the list off on his fingers.
"You haven't aged a day in all the years since I met you. You can bring people back from the brink of death. I'm very literally living proof of that. You associate with lawmakers, with kingmakers. You are just incredible. Unbelievably so."
He studies her for a moment, and there's something dark and intense in his eyes.
"And yet, here you are,"
he says, thoughtful, pausing. "Sitting in a bar in Vizima,
drinking the house red and eating incredibly smelly blue cheese. With me."
A strange warmth settles low in Yennefer's belly. Instead of examining it, she drinks.
"I'm not sure why this is so surprising to you, Bard," she says, cocking an eyebrow. "You've spent most of your life building a very flawed man into the White Wolf, into a legend. You know how inaccurate stories are, how little truth there is in rumor and whispers."
Yasgir scoffs.
"Geralt's one thing," he says. "I've seen him with mud in his hair and guts caked on his shoes. Even a witcher isn't particularly legendary, stinking of viscera, but..."
Abruptly, he stops, a little wide-eyed, and raises his glass to his lips. "Ah, shit," he says, alcohol thick in his voice, and drinks. Yennefer's heart twists in her chest, so painful that for a second she can barely breathe. For a long moment, they sit there in silence.
"You didn't answer the question before," Yennefer says, studying the blood-red wine in her glass. "When I asked you why you came to me with a bottle of Est-Est, you didn't answer."
Yaskir's smile is lopsided.
"You noticed that, did you?" he asks, then nods, drinks deeply. "Of course you noticed."
He leans forward, reaches for a refill, finishes off the first carafe in the process.
"Well, you know why."
"I don't think I do," Yennefer answers.
His lips tighten. "Are you really going to make me say it?"
"I wouldn't have come to you," Yennefer says, and abruptly knows that it's true. "If I'd seen you sitting in a bar by yourself drinking alone, I wouldn't have come to you." Her gut clenches. It's guilt, maybe? Regret.
"So no, I don't know why you came to speak to me," she says quietly. "Because I wouldn't have done the same."
Yaskir sighs, sits back. He drinks slowly, doesn't meet her gaze.
"Commiseration, I suppose," he says eventually, studying his hands. "We have something in common, after all."
He pauses.
"Or someone."
Yennefer feels her warm, soft tipsiness start to turn a little sour. Yasker's lips twitch.
"Not to ruin the mood or anything," he mutters.
Then drags his gaze up from his wine, catches her eye.
"Sorry."
"Maybe it's the alcohol."
Actually, it's probably definitely the alcohol, because Yennefer has spent most of the year, so it's been since that fucking disaster in King Nidamar's Mountains, deliberately not thinking about him. No, fuck that. Not thinking about Geralt. About harsh words and pretty lies and all the pain that boiled up in her heart, boiled over and left them all scorched to the bone. But now here she is, sitting in a bar in Vizima with Geralt's bard, with Yaskir. And she could lash out at him. That would be the easiest thing to do. She could push him away, snarl and scratch and bite. Or... Yennefer clears her throat, then figures that another mouthful of wine wouldn't hurt, and drinks. Yaskir just watches her, his eyes startlingly blue. "I heard what he said to you," she says. Then lets out a breath, forces her fingers to clench just a little less tight around the stem of her glass. "On the mountain." Yaskir snorts softly, and Yennefer watches as a little tension seeps out of his shoulders. "Shouted, really,"
he says. "And I heard what he said to you." It's Yennefer's turn to laugh.
"What he was forced to say,"
she corrects.
If it weren't for Borch, I don't think he would have ever told me.
Yaskir huffs a quiet breath.
Full of emotional intelligence, our Witcher.
Ours, Yennefer echoes, then hides a bitter smile in her wine.
Not anymore.
A muscle jumps in Yaskir's jaw.
No, he says.
No, I suppose not. Geralt was, though, Yennefer knows.
Theirs.
Hers, yes, but Yaskir's, too. She never knew the specifics of their relationship. Never knew for sure what they were to each other.
Friends just helping each other out. Devoted lovers. Long-suffering life partners.
But she knew that when Geralt wasn't in her bed, 9 times out of 10, he was in Yaskir's instead. That's why they sniped at each other, of course. Why they couldn't bear to be in the same room. Jealousy. Hot and potent. Because surely one day Geralt would choose, wouldn't he? One day he would choose between them, and neither of them could bear the thought of losing him.
It all seems a little redundant now.
Yaskir's watching her over the rim of his glass. His eyes shine blue in the warm light of Azima's scorching afternoon. Unreadable.
What a fucking asshole, Yennefer says.
Yaskir slumps back in his chair, barks a laugh.
I'll drink to that, he says,
raises his glass. And it feels like the most natural thing in the world for Yennefer to raise hers in return. They drink together, and,
okay, they've been doing that this whole time, powering through the wine set out on the table between them,
but for some reason, this feels a little different.
I had second thoughts, you know,
Yaskir says, his lips wine wet.
About coming over, he clarifies in a quizzical look. I sat back in the corner for a good half an hour or so after I noticed you. Thought about just leaving. Figured that would probably be easier. I wouldn't have to think about things I don't want to think about that way.
He snorts.
And I'd run less of a risk of getting turned into a frog.
He jokes. And Yennefer finds herself smiling in response. Yaskir pauses for a second, looking around the bar, fingers wrapped languid and loose around his glass.
I brought him here once,
he says eventually.
Geralt?
Yennefer asks, and the name is still sour in her mouth. Yaskir nods.
It was the artist's waltz, actually, he says, a rueful twist to his lips. A few years ago, before we met you, I didn't even know he was in the area. I came down off the stage at the end of the competition. First place, thank you very much. And he was waiting for me. No swords, no potions, no monster blood. He said he'd heard I was competing, so he came to find me.
There's a brightness in his eyes, gleaming and wet.
I brought him here, and we drank a lot of wine. I think he ate about 4 of those platters.
His jaw is tight.
It was a good day,
he says quietly, then laughs a little. Raises an eyebrow.
And a good night, too.
Yennefer breathes.
I only ever had the nights,
she says, the words harsh and bitter in the back of her throat.
We didn't sit in bars and drink wine.
We didn't travel together.
Didn't live together. We met, and we fucked, and we went our separate ways.
Yaskir's smile is wry.
That doesn't sound like Geralt, he says, laden with sarcasm. No communication? Only grunts and incredible sex? No, that's not him at all.
Despite the hurt in her heart,
Yennefer finds herself laughing.
I'm not sure I ever said the sex was incredible. Yaskir gives her a knowing look.
Really?
He says. Because, first, I know what sex with Geralt is like.
Intense, overwhelming. Sometimes a little violent, if I'm honest. He'll toss you up against the wall as easy as he'll fuck you into the mattress. And second, he smirks. I've heard about the unicorn, Yennefer. Yennefer is a sorceress of Arethusa, known and respected across the continent. She's not going to sit here under that knowing, borderline lascivious expression and blush. At least, she's not just going to sit here and take it. The unicorn, she says, sipping her wine, really wasn't that special. Not comparatively. Yaskir blinks. Comparatively? He asks slowly. What exactly are you comparing with that having sex on a unicorn wasn't special? It wasn't a real unicorn, Yennefer points out. There's a light in Yaskir's eyes, bright and intrigued, and a challenge in his voice. Now who's avoiding the question? Yennefer still feels the hurt that still twists her stomach. The heartbreak, if she were to be poetic about it. But she also feels the alcohol, warm and intoxicating in her veins, the heat of the summer air, the softness of the chiffon of her dress, the weight of the obsidian star that hangs around her neck. That night, I only orgasmed once, she says, as clean and cool and calm as she could manage. We met in the forest in Temeria one Beltane, fucked on a bed of bluebells. Yennefer remembers the smell of the broken flower stems, the whisper of the stream they lay beside, the roughness of Geralt's calloused hands and the tenderness of his touch, the taste of ale on his lips, the gleam of his eyes in the darkness. She shifts a little, sips her wine. He made me come 5 times, she says. That was special. 5 times, Yaskir echoes, incredulous. Gods, I wish I'd been born a woman. 5? Yennefer studies him for a moment. The dark hair, the bright eyes. Then thinks about his biting words, his unwavering loyalty. There's a sweep to his cheekbones, a softness to his lips. And he's not a classical beauty, not in any straightforward sense, but he's striking nonetheless. And he can deal with, as he put it, being tossed up against a wall. All of a sudden, Yennefer can't quite hold back a laugh. Yaskir narrows his eyes at her. What? If you had been born a woman, she says, her lips twitching a smile, you would almost be my sister. Yaskir just stares at her for a second, then barks a laugh. From different fathers, maybe, he says. But you're not wrong. He leans forward, pulls the carafe toward himself, then smiles broadly, looks up at Yennefer. What you're saying, he continues, eyebrow cocked, is that Geralt has a type. Yennefer holds out her glass, watches as he tops her up. You flatter yourself, Bard, she says, as arch as she can manage, then delicately sips her wine. Do you really think that you're on par with me? It could be cruel, she knows. It could be biting and bitter and vicious. And really, not so long ago it would have been biting and bitter and vicious. But now she sits here in this bar in Vizima, drenched in the midsummer heat, surrounded by the clamor from the market, the taste of wine and cheese slicked across her tongue, and there's a strange sort of affection growing in her heart. Affection? Yaskir leaps to his feet, interrupting her thoughts, and bows to her deeply, brandishing his wine glass in midair. Of course not, m'lady. He dramatizes, his voice full of the rich pageantry of the royal courts he sings in. I would never dare impugn your honor in such a manner. Never dare suggest that a humble bone such as myself would even be fit to besmirch the hem of your lovely gown with my base gaze. He looks up at her from the depths of his bow, lashes her a smile that she can only really characterize as wicked. But you were the one who brought it up. Yennefer hides her smile in her wine. I said that you would almost look like me if you were a woman, she points out. And as far as I can tell, and if you remember from our first meeting, I do have some hands-on experience in the matter. You're not a woman. Yesker pulls her face, sits down heavily in his chair. Yes, thanks for that, he says. Always how I like to be introduced to a beautiful woman. A dagger at my throat and a hand on my cock. I don't want to know about your fetishes, Bard. Says you, Lady Geralt made me come 5 times. Yennefer laughs. Not my official title, I hope, she says. And I'm fairly sure the only reason you're complaining is because you're jealous. Yasker sighs and drinks. I would make a wonderful woman, it's true, he says, almost thoughtfully. Think of the fashion. His eyes go almost comically wide, and he touches his throat, runs his fingers over the swell of his legs. I could sing soprano. Oh, fuck, my high notes would be incredible. That's what you're interested in? Yennefer asks, amused. I thought it was the orgasms. Yesker waves a hand. I can orgasm just fine as I am, he says. Okay, maybe not 5 times in one night. But there's so many songs that I can't sing right now because they're not written for my voice. And yeah, I can sing them down the octave, sure, but it's not the same. It's not the original. He answers speculatively. Know any spells that would give me the range to sing the Nocturnal Queen for a day or so? I'm not wasting my magic on your musical whims, Yaskir, Yennefer says. Yaskir doesn't seem particularly disappointed.
Pity,
he says. Could have been fun. He drinks his wine, then pulls the platter towards him.
I think I'm going to try this blue cheese, he says, sounding more than a little skeptical about it. If it kills me, I'd ask that you'd avenge my untimely death.
There's a pleasant fuzz in Yennefer's head, a lightness that runs through her limbs, stretches to the ends of her fingertips, the tips of her toes. It's just the wine, she knows it is, because by the look of it, they're almost at the bottom of the second carafe, which means that they've drunk a lot. But at the same time, there's something in her stomach that she can't quite identify. Something warm and private, unfurling like petals in the sun. She watches Yaskir as he nibbles suspiciously at the blue cheese, soft and oozing in the summer heat, smearing across his fingertips. And she thinks, absently, about him laid out in her borrowed bed in Rind, eyes closed, body sprawled and limp, blood staining his lips, his chin, his shirt. You know what? Yaskir says, licking grease off his fingers thoughtfully.
That's actually not half bad.
A bit strong for my taste, but I'd still eat it. High praise, Yennefer says, arching one eyebrow. Yaskir shrugs, retrieves a slice of pork, pops it in his mouth. His lips are stained with wine, red and dark, and he's watching her with that particular thoughtfulness of the really very drunk.
I probably shouldn't really be saying this,
he says, running his thumb along the rim of his glass.
But it wasn't just the sex unicorn that Geralt told me about. Yennefer feels her cheeks flush.
Is that right? She asks, and wonders whether it's socially acceptable in Vizima to publicly thrash a misbehaving drunken bard.
Yes, Gerhams. And it's such a strikingly Geralt thing to do that, for a second, it hurts Yennefer's heart.
This was mainly when he was drunk, I'd like to point out,
Yaskir says. His gaze still fixed on her.
He wasn't going around nattering about your sex life with anyone he happened to come across. But he let slip a few things here and there.
A light dances in his eyes, mischievous and bright. Such as, for instance, the fact that the mighty Yennefer of Vengerberg, exalted sorceress and beauty of the age, hogs the covers.
Yennefer laughs, surprised.
Excuse me?
You know, you hog the covers,
Yaskir says, clearly unable to control the smile that's twitching wine-stained lips.
After you've had your dozen orgasms, or however many it is this time, you wrap yourself up in all the blankets and leave your unfortunate bed partner totally exposed.
Now that Yennefer thinks about it, she does vaguely remember Geralt muttering something about Yaskir keeping to his own bedroll. There's something oddly exposing about the fact that Yaskir knows that about her. Something oddly vulnerable. And so she raises an eyebrow, shoots back.
At least I don't snore.
Yaskir splutters.
I do not snore.
According to Geralt, you do.
That traitor!
Yaskir cries, clearly outraged. But then he pauses, narrows his eyes, refocuses his attention on her.
At least I'm not ticklish.
At least I don't moan so loud during sex I get kicked out of inns, Yennefer answers.
One time,
Yaskir groans, then grins, full of challenge.
At least I don't drool in my sleep.
Yennefer pretends to wince.
Oh, you do.
I don't leave half a face of makeup on the pillow every night, Yaskir counters. Yennefer rolls her eyes.
Only when I forget to take it off,
she says, then bares her teeth in a smile.
I don't bring my loot to bed.
It's valuable, Yaskir exclaims. And when it's cold, body heat stops the wood warping. His voice is full of joy, full of camaraderie, full of drunken affection.
I don't kick in my sleep.
Something flashes in Yennefer's heart, lightning bright, piercing through the blur of the alcohol, the soft haze of the midsummer heat.
I don't have nightmares, she says, before she can stop herself, meeting Askir's gaze, seeing the laughter fade from his eyes.
I don't wake in the night crying out in fear and pain. The smile that curls Yaskir's lips is tiny and sad.
Yes, you do, he says, more solemn than Yennefer's ever heard him before.
Yennefer's hand isn't quite shaking when she raises her wine glass to her lips, but there's a tremble to her fingers that wasn't there before. Yaskir huffs a soft laugh, reaches for his own drink. Yennefer's almost pleased when she notices that his hands are just as unsteady as hers.
Geralt should really learn to keep his mouth shut, shouldn't he?
He asks, then sips.
Very ironic, given how little he actually fucking talks.
He looks up at her, over the rim of his glass.
At least we have one thing in common, I guess.
More than one, I think, Yennefer answers. She pauses for a second, then raises her glass across the table. Yaskir doesn't hesitate, and their glasses touch with a sharp clink.
I have to say, I never thought that this would be how I'd spend my afternoon.
Yaskir cocks his head.
In my delightful company?
Enjoying your delightful company, Yennefer says, then blinks. It's the wine. It must be. Spots of color flush high on Yaskir's cheeks. Why, Yennefer, he says, sounding genuinely surprised. I'm touched. His lips twist.
Or is this just the wine talking?
Definitely the wine, Yennefer answers, and drinks deeper. The afternoon is shading into evening now. The market quieting down, the cries of hawkers and buyers dulling to a soft roar. The smell is still there, fresh leather and butcher's blood, but it's fainter, overwhelmed by the cooler air gusting in off the lake, the alcohol of the wine in her hand, the rich, musky scent of the cheese on the platter between them. The chiffon of Yennefer's dress swirls around her ankles, and she watches, absently interested, as goosebumps prick the skin of Yaskir's arms. The bar is busying around them, more tables filling, the barman flitting between patrons with his hands full of glasses, carafes, platters, which is a little frustrating, to be honest, because he doesn't notice that their glasses are empty. Yaskir spends a good half an hour trying to get his attention before Yennefer snorts a laugh, snaps her fingers, and sends a flash of sparks up into the air that has the barman scurrying over in seconds. They get another carafe, and they drink it. And then they get another. Which definitely isn't a good idea, because it's at that point that the evening starts to get a little hazy. Yennefer has vague memories of Yaskir knocking the fourth carafe over, and then getting lost somewhere in the winding back streets, and then of dipping her bare feet. Where exactly did her shoes go? In the cool waters of Lake Vizima. She remembers Yaskir sitting at her side on the dock. Remembers him singing something that she can't quite place. Remembers the bright white dinner plate of the moon in the dark sky overhead. It's all a bit of a blur after that. Yennefer wakes in an unfamiliar bed the next morning, her head throbbing, and her mouth tasting like something crawled inside and died during the night. She lies there for a moment, slowly cataloging the extent of her extremely self-inflicted injuries, then lets out a low breath, reaches for her chaos, and feels it soothing the headache away. Desire most likely wouldn't approve, but then again, Yennefer's fairly sure that Desire de fucking Vries doesn't approve of most of her life choices this far. Someone's snoring, and it isn't her. Yennefer crawls towards the edge of the bed, peers over the side of the mattress. Yaskir's passed out on the floor, one arm thrown over his eyes, mouth open and shirt rucked up around his ribs, exposing a strip of pale stomach. He also smells that distinctive hangover smell of stale alcohol and musty sweat. And Yennefer wrinkles her nose. Yaskir, she says. And when he only makes a grumbling noise in response, Bard. Yaskir moves his arm, cracks one eye open. His first attempt at speech is completely incoherent, so he licks his lips and tries again. I know what my wish is this time. His voice is cracked and hoarse. Let me guess, Yennefer says wryly. You want me to fix your hangover? Please, Yaskir groans, and settles his arm back over his eyes. No, Yennefer says, clambering out of bed. She's silently glad that he's currently incapable of movement, because her head might be clear, but she's definitely not at her elegant best right now. She's still wearing yesterday's dress, a couple of flecks of red wine marring the sleeves and the hem. And after a cursory search for her missing shoes, she shrugs and figures she'll just borrow Yaskir's boots. Serves you right for trying out drink a sorceress. Yaskir makes a muffled little moan. And if it weren't so entertaining, Yennefer would almost be sympathetic. Yennefer studies him for a moment,
curled up on the floor next to his own bed, his hair a mess, his eyes screwed shut against the light of day. There are sweat stains under the armpits of his dove gray shirt, and his bare feet are crusted with dirt. Looks like she borrowed his boots last night, too. "Enjoy the hangover," she says, raking her fingers through her black hair, casting a surreptitious glance at the pillow, and seeing that, yes, she has left half a face of makeup imprinted on the pillowcase.
"I fucking hate you,"
Yasker groans. Yennefer laughs. "I'll be in Dredania in the autumn," she says, before she can think better of it, before she can let her bitterness catch up with her heart. "I assume you know where's best to drink in Oxenfurt?"
"I know where's most dangerous to drink in Oxenfurt,"
Yasker responds, eyes still closed. "The kind of places that sell red wine by the liter?" Yasker snorts.
"Those kinds of places,"
he agrees, then raises his arm, cracks an eye.
"I'll see you in Oxenfurt, Yennefer,"
he says.
"Now fuck off. Let me sleep."
Yennefer leaves him to his hangover. The streets of Vizima are quiet this early in the morning. The sun yet to heat the stones to burning. The wind from the lake still curling smooth and cool around the street corners. A few of the locals make their way through the winding alleyways. A baker with a bag of flour slung over his shoulder. A woman carrying two baskets of freshly picked rushes from the lake bed, and a messenger in the royal livery of Sintra trots by on the back of a black palfrey. People greet each other softly, almost as if they don't want to break the quiet of the early morning. Footsteps echo in the narrow lanes. Yennefer walks alone under the blue summer sky, dress billowing around her borrowed boots, hair whispering around her shoulders. And there's a lightness in her step that wasn't there yesterday.